Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. It's always a joy to see all of you for our prayer meeting. So before we go to the word, Alvin and I would like to thank all of you for your continuous prayer and care the past 2 weeks. It has been an overwhelming 2 weeks, but at the same time, we are very thankful and very encouraged to witness and to experience God's grace in this season. And we are truly thankful that we have a community that is standing with us. God has been using His church, your encouragement, your prayers, and His word, scriptures, sermons, and even our conversations to minister to us. And that includes Christopher as well. And in this past 2 weeks, one of the passages that God has been using to minister to me is Psalms 40. And today I would like to share about the God who delivers through this psalm. So let's look at a psalm. Reading from Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without numbers surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the God who hears our cries, God who answers our prayers, the God who saves and delivers us. And I just pray, Lord, at this moment, as we meditate upon these psalms, many are in hardships, many are in the slimy pits, who is struggling, and many are also on firm rock, standing on your faith. Wherever we are, Lord, we ask that we put our faith not in the foundation of what is happening to us, but in the foundation of who Christ is and what He has done on the cross for us. So we come today, as the psalmist say, poor and needy, Lord, crying out to you that you come and save us and speak to us through this psalm, Lord. Bless this time, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a couple weeks more, we will be commemorating Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. we are still in the season of Lent, a season where we learn to refocus and meditate upon the cross. And we know this whole, the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth, he is to save us from sin, to deliver us from evil. And that is the big picture of salvation, of deliverance. We have been saved, we have been redeemed. But as we live in this fallen world, we ourselves do go through hardship, we go through suffering. And when we go through suffering, what we look for is a specific deliverance from the situation that we are in. So even in this psalm, we see that the psalmist is crying out for deliverance of his situation. And like I say just now, you know, this psalm has been speaking to me. So for Alvin and I, when we found out about Chris having diabetes, we were devastated. So we couldn't accept that his whole life is about to change. I felt that he shouldn't need to go through this. No child should ever need to go through this. And honestly, if I could, I would rather switch places with him. I would rather that I have to suffer than seeing my son go through that suffering. And like how the psalmist describes in these psalms, it really felt like I was being in a slimy pit, being in a small, constrained space, not having any foothold, not having hope to get out of it. So I was overwhelmed. And it felt like I was sinking deeper and deeper in the pit and on the verge of drowning and suffocation. But at the same time, God actually reminded me of who he is, who he was during our past afflictions and his many deliverance in our lives. So like what it says in verse 1-3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So there were many slimy pits that God had saved us from. And in fact, many of them were even consequences of our own decisions, our own actions. But what is amazing is God chose to forgive. He chose to save us, not because we deserve it, but simply because he loves us. And it was at that time that God reminded me of this psalm. And in fact, I've shared on this psalm 5 years ago, about 5 years ago, few months after Jonathan's passing. I shared about God's deliverance in our time of grief and loss. And obviously, the deliverance that God brought in that situation wasn't a miraculous healing. Jonathan did pass away. But when we call upon God and when we look to him, God's deliverance was shown in his gift of grace, his supernatural strength to endure through that season of our lives. And God gave us a firm place to stand on when we learn how to submit to his plans and to trust in his sovereignty and his goodness. And I remember very vividly in the beginning that I couldn't even get out of bed. I was weeping. I was crying out to God. But then when I look at it now, through it all, God was the one who helped us through until we could sing a new song to him. In that change of our heart, of our will, God put a new song in our mouth. So we begin to see his goodness, his love, his protection, his favor. And we begin to have peace. We begin to trust, we begin to rest, we begin to give thanks and praise God for who he is and what he is doing. And many others, including many of you, join us in our chorus of praise and thanksgiving. Many of you upheld us in prayers, you know, learning to look to God together with us. And that was a bittersweet experience, that it was because it was tremendously painful to lose a child. But through that experience, we encountered God in his love, in his grace, in a whole different way that we never had experienced. So it was a painful blessing. And that was what God was reminding me. However, even with God's reminder of who he is and what he has done in the past, when it came to what has happened to Christopher this time, I realized that we had to go through the same wrestling with God all over again. And I personally struggled with the thought that this deliverance would come in the same form. where Chris would have to endure to having diabetes, but God would give him the grace and strength. So this is good, but I wanted what I think is better. I wanted a miraculous healing. I wanted a diabetes-free life for Christopher. I don't want to see my son suffer, because it is hard to see your loved ones, especially your children, go through suffering and pain. And sometimes that would make us, it blurs our vision. It makes our vision very narrow and very self-centered. And therefore, my wrestle with God is whether actually I can trust that God's grace will be sufficient, whether God will really be with us through all this. So as we see the psalm, it continues to say, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. So while on one side, I struggle to come to terms with that Chris has to live with this condition for the rest of his life. On the other side, I kept thinking of ways that I could help to lessen his pain. So I wanted to get all the latest gadgets to ease the processes to lessen his burden. And I'm not saying that all this was wrong. It was not wrong for me to find out about these things. But the truth is, it was a temptation for me to turn to medical advances to help Chris instead of learning to trust God with these processes. So what I had to learn is to discover that the rock, the firm places that God gives us to stand on, these are not circumstantial. So it doesn't change based on the outcome of the situation. Yes, there are things that we can do to help our situation, but that does not necessarily give us the peace and strength unless we work out our struggles with God. So the firm foothold that we will come, that we will have, comes from the place of trust and assurance of God's presence and love in our lives. So in this passage, again, the psalmist recounts on the many wonders that God has done, the many salvations that God has brought. So it seems like a sort of a repetition. But what it shows is it's showing us that repetition of remembering these accounts is very important. So one of the very important ways to learn how to trust God in the midst of affliction is to remember the things that God has done for us. So the people of Israel often recall the deliverance God had given them during the Exodus from Egypt. And this is a yearly thing, you know, it was intentional because it reminds the people that God is the God who saves, the God who cares for them, the God who provides, the God who forgives their trespasses, and the God who appeared to them, who taught them how to live and love. And in verse 10, the psalmist speaks about God's character, you know, God's righteousness, God's faithfulness, God's love. And the word love here is hesed, God's covenantal love, which we have looked at a couple of times previously in our prayer meetings. And hesed speaks about God's faithfulness, his loving kindness, his steadfast love that doesn't change. And this is so important because God is true to his word. He had promised to be our God. He had promised to love and care for us as his people. And because of that, we can trust him. We can be assured of what he is going to do. So the more we meditate on God's love and his deliverance, the more we become assured of his good plans for our future. So the meditation of who God is and what he has done yesterday, the past, it forms our assurance of who God is going to be and what he's going to do today, our present, and tomorrow, our future. So scripture reminds us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So what it means is we can rest in him because of what he has done for us in the past. And the habit of reflection and meditation of God leads us to an attitude of gratefulness. And this gratefulness helps to build trust in the God who saves us, who loves us. And that trust gives us rest because we can rest in who God is now. And that rest removes our desire to complain, our temptation to wallow in our sorrow, in our self-pity. And in fact, when we do start to worry, when we do start to complain about things, perhaps it's a sign that we have not taken time to pray and meditate on God. If we would only take time to be quiet and reflect on what God is doing in our lives, there is no doubt that God will minister to us. There is no doubt that God will help us to learn to put our trust and to learn to rest in the Lord. And then the Psalms continue in verse 11, says, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, 'The Lord is great.' But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay." So after declaring God's deliverance and his trust in God, the psalmist was honest with his current struggles, with the troubles he is in. So to him, God's character doesn't seem to match his current predicament. He trusted the Lord, but now he is suffering, and there seems to be no justice for him. So the psalmist cried out to God for his salvation. And for us, for Alvin and I, when we inform our family and our close friends about Christopher, obviously everyone was shocked, everyone was sad, and some were even puzzled. So some people wondered, how come we as committed Christians, we who are attending church regularly, we are serving the Lord in great lengths, and even for me being a pastor, that something like that would happen to us, that we will still have to go through such terrible things? And these are honest questions that I believe all of us would ask at one point of our lives. And it is only healthy that we do take time to wrestle with these questions. These questions are asked because we cannot reconcile with the fact that evil things can happen to good and godly people. But when we think about the question, it comes from the assumption that whether or not we receive suffering is based on our actions, our godliness. The assumption that only the wicked suffer. And I believe all of us have lived long enough and has learned enough from scripture to know that this is not true. Yes, God protects his people. Yes, God delivers his people. But this deliverance, this protection is not based on the righteousness of the person. God protects and he delivers, he saves because he cares, he loves. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we will always be free from suffering. And Jesus is the perfect example of this. The Son of God, whom the Father loved, he was without sin. He obeyed the Father until death. But at the same time, he was not spared of suffering. And there are many, many godly Christians who go through suffering. And one person that is like this, that I follow on Instagram and I've shared about her, is Joni Erickson. She had been a quadriplegic for more than 50 years of her life. And when you look at her, she had been faithful to God. She is serving God. She's like a beacon of light for God. And yet God still allowed her to continue to be in this disabled condition. There are many, many other examples that we can see around us. And we know these things. But the thing is, when life is such that we are in the face of hardship, we will have questions. We will have questions of God's justice, of His goodness, of His love, of His sovereignty. And it's because we often wonder what to make out from our hardship. So I have no question, I have no answers to why certain things happen to some of us and other things happen to other people. But what God has taught me through this suffering is to embrace a life of weakness. I believe everyone can identify with me when I say that I would rather have a life without suffering, a life where I am in control, a life where I can determine the outcome of my decisions, my actions, a life where I can determine the way I want to live, in fact, the way I want to die. But as I struggle and with trusting God and to submit to His will, God used His word to reveal the depths of my heart. So a couple of months ago, I listened to a TGC podcast about the updates of the pastors in China. So one of the things that spoke to me strongly was how the pastors in China saw the increase in persecution as God's way of rebuking them of their worldliness. So in such intense persecution, we would think that the Christians there would complain and ask for prayers for the removal of such suffering. But what they are saying is they recognize that the influence of the world have crept in into the church, that they were desiring a Christian life without suffering. And their prayers were that they become less worldly and to continue to stand for Christ towards those who persecute them. That was amazing to listen to, and it really struck me. And last week during prayer meeting, when Pastor Adam was speaking about rendering our hearts to God in repentance, God actually reminded me of that truth again. And it hit me very strongly that I too have become so worldly. You know, I wanted a life without suffering for my son, for myself, for my loved ones. And my definition of a good life have been so greatly tarnished by what the world has said that I missed out on the truly good and blessed life that God offers. Verse 17 says, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God, do not delay." So I used to read this verse thinking that becoming poor and needy is for the weak. It is a state where I thought it would be wise to avoid because it means that I have failed. It means that I'm not in a position to do anything that can change my situation. But because of recent events, I have come to experience the beauty and the blessedness of being in such a state. Being vulnerable, accepting our weaknesses, being poor and needy before the Lord becomes a blessing. It brings humility. It gets rid of our self-sufficiency. It gets rid of our self-righteousness. And it redirects us to our focus towards the source of life, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we will learn how to partake Jesus as our daily bread, to see Jesus as our good shepherd, to drink from Him as our living water. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Being poor in spirit, acknowledging our deep need for God, we become blessed because we do not need to carry any burdens by ourselves anymore. We are blessed because we recognize that our God who is in control is great and mighty, and He loves us. He cares for us. We are blessed because there is joy, there's peace, there's security and hope when we learn to rest in our God. But when we try to take things into our hands, when we try to live in our own ability and strength, when we try to control the situation, we actually take on a burden that is never ours to carry. It overwhelms us, it suffocates us, and we lose any possibility of rest and peace. But when we learn how to lay it all down at the feet of Jesus, to be poor in spirit, then we begin to receive the blessing of having the freedom and assurance of living in the providence of our sovereign God. So after 2 weeks, are we done with our struggle? The answer is no. We are still struggling. We are still wrestling with God. But what I have come to realize is, I begin to appreciate the Psalms so much more. Now, as I read the Psalms, it's so comforting to know that even David, the man after God's own heart, struggled in the midst of hardship. And when I read the Psalms, I see how the psalmist struggle do not immediately cease when they encounter God. So there are times where they stand on solid ground with strong faith in the Lord who delivers them. And there are times where they waver in their faith. So they become honest with the struggles and cry out to God. And that has been our journey the past 2 weeks. There are times where we are strong in our faith. And there are times we feel like there's no more strength to continue. And we cry out to God. And I suspect that this will be our journey for the rest of our lives until we meet Christ face to face. There are ups and downs. It's the same for all of us. But there are also many new songs that God has put into our mouth. We have seen God's grace upon grace over our lives, how He has protected Christopher, how He has sent us to a good hospital with good doctors, how He has quickened the processes, how we were blessed with a room to ourselves, how God appeared in the hospital room as we worship Him, how God sent many people to care for us, how Chris had learned to adjust so quickly and God's grace upon his life, and how God gives us wisdom and strength to handle each day, to handle each situation that arises. And the struggles of life are real. It can be overwhelming. It can push us to the verge of giving up. You don't need to have a son who has diabetes to go through that. We all have different struggles. We all have different journeys. But what we have that is the same is we have a God who cares, who loves us. So when we persevere to wrestle with God, like Jacob, who refuses to let the Lord go until he is blessed, we will be brought up out of the slimy pits that we are in. We will be placed on solid rocks that we find firm foothold for our feet. We will be able to rest in the midst of storm simply because our Lord is great and mighty. He is in control and He is our Father who loves us. So for some people, the hardships of life drive them to question God and then turn away from God. But if we would just take some time to think, to reflect, to meditate upon God, there is no doubt that God is holding everything together. There is no doubt that God, who has been so good to us when we do not deserve any good in the first place, is being good to us now. And that itself should drive us to this God who loves us so much that we can be vulnerable, we can be weak, we can be poor in spirit, we can be needy, we can be ourselves before Him. So we're going to go into a time of prayer. And I just want to encourage all of you to join us in prayer. And the first part is what I've shared in the sermon, and part of the prayer is to pray that we will learn how to be vulnerable and to be transparent before God, that we will embrace the weaknesses that we have and to wrestle it in the presence of God. And let's also pray for God's comfort, for God's strength, for God's grace upon those who are going through hardship. And one more thing that I would like to raise as well is this weekend we are having our community outreach program. It's on the 17th to 19th of March, this Friday to Sunday. And we have done all the preparations. We are still doing some preparations, but let's pray for the kids that are coming, that their hearts will be open. And as we communicate with them, let's pray that we can build a relationship with them and for God's wisdom to know what we can do next for this community as well. So let's look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's a place for us to be vulnerable. There's a place for us to be transparent. Because we do not need to wear any mask before you, God. You know our hearts. You know us through and through. You know the circumstances that we are in. You know the highs and the downs. You know, Lord, what we need, God. There are times, Lord, there's no words to pray, that our tears becomes our prayer, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, God, especially for those who are going through hardship in this season, those who are carrying burdens that is overwhelming, those who have sick ones in their family, those who are going financial difficulties, those who are seeking you for direction. Lord, I pray, Lord, in those places you meet them, God. Help us, Lord, to identify with what Paul says, that your grace is sufficient for us, that we will not need to wait for an outcome that we desire before we can rest in the midst of this storm. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you teach us to embrace the suffering that we have to go through, the circumstances that we have to live through, Lord. These are not necessarily bad for us, Lord. We have come to think that it is bad. But what is worse, Lord, is a suffering-free life, that all things go well, but we forgot about you, Lord. That we no longer put our trust and faith in you. That we live according to our own abilities and strength. That is the true suffering that we want to run away from, God. So we want to run to you, God. We want to look to you. We want the blessed life of being poor in spirit. We want to learn how to trust in the assurance that you are good, you are great, you love us. We want to lay down all our burdens, our stress. We want to admit, Lord, that we cannot do anything without you, God. So come and save us. Come and deliver us from our situations, Lord. Come and lift us up from this slimy pit. Put us, Lord, on solid ground that we can stand on. Help us see that foundation, that solid ground is built on who Christ is, Lord. We know we cannot do things perfectly, but it is because Christ has done it perfectly on our behalf, dying on our behalf. Now we have hope. We have you. We have strength, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for this place that we can be vulnerable. And at the same time, we thank you that in our vulnerability, Lord, you are the one who gives us strength. You are the one who makes us whole. You are the one who gives us our daily manna to face each day, not with sorrow, but with peace, with joy, with a new song in our mouth, praising you, giving you thanks, glorifying your name, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you. We continue to look to you, Lord Father, even as that you've been with this church and you continue to lead us, Lord, according to your heart, according to your will for us, Lord. And we know, Lord Father, that you have, it is so important to you, Lord Father, that we be your hands, your feet, Lord, your heart to the communities that are broken, that are marginalized, that are struggling, dear Lord. The communities that the world looks down on, Lord, and ignores and takes advantage of, Lord. We pray that we will be the kind of church that speaks and listens, Lord, to these communities and gives them, Lord, the dignity to speak and remind them that they are called and they should take their place with us, Lord, in your kingdom, in the things, Lord, that you've called us to do, Lord. That they are needed, Lord, and we all need each other. We pray, Lord Father, that you continue to help us, Lord, as we do the various ministries, Life Explorers, this community ministry, Redeeming Roses, and that you would just open doors, you would provide for us financially, that you would open the right contacts. We thank you, Lord Father, for the many locations that you have opened. We also pray especially for the children from Sunway Mentari. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to guide us as how you want us to do work in this place, Lord Father. And that you would help us, Lord, to know how, Lord, to develop the next steps, Lord Father, in this ministry. And Lord, we pray that we will be bold and courageous, Lord. And we pray that you would give the church, Lord, with the wisdom to counsel, to listen, to speak, Lord, to share your word, Lord, in such a way that it brings freedom and healing, and that we'll be able to make disciples and develop, Lord, ministers for the glory of your name, Lord. We pray, Lord, that this vision will consume our hearts, Lord, that this will be the dream, Lord, that we will hold on to, Lord. As we see, Lord, broken people come to you and rise up, Lord, to be your voice, your instruments of healing, Lord, for other generations and other peoples, dear Lord. So, Lord, Father, in the season, we pray that you help us, Lord, to be sensitive. We want to see, Lord, your hands build this church, and we want to stand with you in building this church, Lord, according to your blueprint, according to your heart, according to your will and desire, Lord Father. Dear Lord, we also pray that this church will be instrumental in the healing, Lord, of all forms of divisions, Lord, even among races, among classes, among economic groups, Lord Father. Dear Lord, we pray that in you, Lord, the story of faith, Lord, should be heard from every quarters, Lord, even as we heard today, the suffering have a story to tell us, Lord, about your goodness. They have new songs, Lord, that we should listen to. And we pray that this will be, Lord, the heart of this church, Lord, that you would lead us in such a way. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together in your name and continue to pray for your guidance, for your leading. Bless us, Lord, throughout this week and bless this weekend, Lord, and continue to minister to us at this time of night. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.